What's up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Celtics Talk podcast here on the NBC Sports Boston Podcast Network. It's time to break out our panic meters, and to do such, we have a very special guest, DJ Bean, the busiest man in the world. Look, not only are you super versatile, and I know you, I get uncomfortable when people talk me up as well, but DJ, you not only can you talk about every team in Boston, not only do you, like, are you the only one that I trust on the Revolution, post-game live, pre-game live, the whole kit and caboodle tonight with the Patriots in action, you getting up early to talk Celtics. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. I mean, most people don't like when I talk any of the sports, so I'm glad that you pointed out that I like to talk about all the sports, but in general, you ask the specific fans of each sport, like, hey, you like DJ on the Bruins? You like him on the Patriots? Or all of them are like, we hate that guy. So, but thank you.
But I love your basketball knowledge. I think it's nice to delve in, because people forget sometimes, like, you know, everyone sits there and says, oh, you cover the Celtics, so you can't talk about any other sports. Well, sometimes I have a hot take about the Patriots, I want to say, and, you know, so it's fun to...
We're all just sports dorks at the end of the day. Some of us are certainly, like, you're way more plugged in on the Celtics. That's your actual job, but we're all just sports dorks at the end of the day.
Well, us sports dorks want to talk about what happened last night against the Indiana Pacers, a team that was playing the second night of a back-to-back, should have been ripe for a Celtics victory. Instead, they botched the third quarter and then botched the final shot. Before we get into the specifics of how it went away and Jason Tatum's ill-advised shot, I just want a general panic meter from you here. 1 to 10, the Celtics are 1 and 2. If you go through my Twitter mentions, I think fans are about a 13 on the panic meter. Where are you at?
I'll say I'm not super panicked, but I'm just also super not bought in on the Celtics right now. I mean, I'm very much in purgatory with the Celtics right now. I was over the moon that they found a way to beat the Bucks, because I thought there was no way they were going to get a win out of the first two games of the season. So of course now it's coming back around the other way. We're like, yeah, they split against the Bucks and the Nets, but they didn't look good against the Nets, and then they went on to lose against the Pacers, who, as you noted, were playing the second game of a back-to-back. So they really should have won that game. Extremely frustrating end to it. But overall, panic meter, much like if they were 2-1 right now, I'm still in wait and see mode.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. Like, I'm glad it's good to have some, because you should see some of my group texts. Like, my friends are just, you know, like, they're despondent. Like, you'd think they didn't have, like, you'd think they'd lost JT and JB for the year because of some of the dire outlook. And, but part of it stems from the fact that last night was winnable. And not only did they botch that third quarter, but then the final play of the game, 8 seconds to go, they run, like, just this kind of cluttered play, and it ends up with Tatum at the top. Now, I have no problem with you getting the ball to your best player, a player who hit a game-winning shot 2 games ago, albeit with a little bit of luck. But Tatum, instead of driving to the basket in a one-point game, kind of pulls back and takes the shot. I think we all agree, terrible decision, terrible shot, you know, relatively. Like, he should be going to the basket at that point. I trust Jason Tatum with a three-point shot, but not in that instance. Where do you come down on that final play, and were you as angry as the rest of Celtics fans?
It just made no sense at all. Like, I was frustrated watching that game, and there was a foul in the final minute, I want to say, on the game. I think it was on Teague, and Brad Stevens didn't challenge it. And I was a little frustrated with that. And then when Time Lord comes up with a steal, your guy Marcus Smart scores, they go ahead 1, and Sabonis misses one of his free throws. I'm like, he's got the timeout now. So this is perfect. This all worked out. See, Brad Stevens is a genius. And I've never flip-flopped so many times in like a 15-second span on Brad Stevens as I did last night, because I was like, oh, see, dummy. Yeah, he was holding on to it. It was his last timeout. He's holding on to his timeout. Now they're going to draw something up. This is absolutely perfect. And as you were kind of getting at, just a three-pointer made absolutely no sense there, let alone – I don't know, like a 39-footer? It's such a three for a scenario in which you did not need a three. Just drive there. We've talked so much about how Jason Tatum hasn't been getting to the line as much as we'd like him to. That's kind of a great situation to get yourself to the line. Really frustrating. Heard Tatum after the game. He put all the blame on himself. And again, we're in the third game of the season, so we can't start making big declarations on, okay, this is why this team's never going to win or anything. So I very much appreciate that Jason Tatum owned that and was like, that's on me. I got to get more out of that play. But it doesn't mean it's not frustrating. It's extremely frustrating, because you said it right off the top. That was such a winnable game.
All right, I don't want to before we dive into it a little bit more, let's listen to Tatum and Brad Stevens. Tatum's taking the blame, and then we'll hear Brad explain what happened on that final play.
Nah, that was on me. I should have got to put more pressure on the defense. Obviously, that's a shot I take a lot and I can hit, but you know, even put pressure on the refs on the defense in this situation. Wasn't an exact play we drew, but no, I should have. Should have just put more pressure on him. You know, that's on me in that situation.
Hey, Brad, just want to see what your thoughts were on the last shot there for Jason, if you like the look and you know what you kind of hope for in that spot.
We were looking for a little bit of action off of a entry where they were denying, and it went to Tatum at the top, and we had that as an option. And then I thought, you know, Grant tried to slip out of that thing and Tatum got separation, but that's obviously a tough shot. But he made it the other day. And our, you know, one of our best players and certainly one of the guys that you want to have the ball with the game on the line in the league had the ball. So that was a positive, I guess.
All right, I enjoy that. The Celtics took a lot of ownership last night. Not only did Tatum sit there and say, hey, you know, got to be better, got to go at the hoop in that situation. Rob Williams came out and said it was his fault, played the game of probably his career, and then still took the blame, even though I don't think it was his fault on the miscommunication that allowed Sabonis to get the go-ahead bucket. We'll get to that in a little bit. But, Brad, because, like, we're going to fixate on Tatum because he missed the shot, and that's fair. Like, it would be so funny because if he actually made it, we'd all be sitting here saying, two game winners in three games. Jason Tatum is a star. Whatever. I'm over the shot. It was a bad shot. Hopefully he learns from it. Brad Stevens, I think this is the bigger sort of topic here. There's some concern about whether Brad is, you know, has stagnated as a coach. And I think that's an overreaction to a situation here. But when I watched that final play and I look at the lineup that was out there, Peyton Pritchard, Grant Williams, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. And I'm thinking there's really only two options on the floor that I want shooting the ball in that situation, which isn't great to begin with. Like, Grant was trying to slip a screen and then realized like it didn't work. And then somehow just like tried to run out of the way so Tatum could drive. And then Tatum still didn't drive. I mean, I don't know. Like, are you worried about, I don't want to turn this into is Brad Stevens not getting the most out of his team? Whatever. Like, but does Brad have to be better in that instance?
Yes, he does. And I will say, like, this should actually be the perfect Brad Stevens team. Like, it doesn't have veteran superstars right now, at least. It does, like, it's young players who are proving themselves. You had two stars, certainly, but they're young and they came up with Brad Stevens. Like, this actually should be a good team for Brad Stevens to get the most out of a bunch of guys. So you said there, like, there are really only two places the ball's going. That's becoming more of an issue for me with the Celtics. And we kind of knew it was going to happen, but we're three games into the season. Celtics have two players averaging 10 points a game. Granted, they have five players averaging 9 points a game, but 10 and nine isn't even like, that's not even like a very good benchmark for scoring really. Like, it just solidifies that. And both those guys, by the way, I met Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They're each over 20 a night because they're
they have to
Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, but they have to be. And that's where I get a little further into the, okay, depth is kind of an issue with this team, but to your overall point, like, Brad Stevens has to get more there. When you're calling a timeout and you've got, what was it, 7.7 seconds left, you need to yield a better result. Even if it's a miss, it just can't be a deep three miss.
Yeah, and just like you said, he had the timeout. It worked out exactly how Brad Stevens probably thought about it. Like, if they score and go ahead, I'm going to get a chance to get the whiteboard. And it comes down to, like, execution. Like, a lot of the Celtics' problems for the first three games have been simple stuff. Transition defense. Now, that's on the players because Tatum will miss a 28-footer, and then he turns and he watches a run out by his guy as it goes all the length of the court for an easy layup. And I'm thinking, got to be better than that. But it's also on Brad because a lot of the problems they're having now are problems we saw inside the bubble in recent seasons, like third quarter struggles. You know, for whatever reason, they just can't come out of halftime and have any sort of momentum, especially if they close the first half well. They fall into old habits. They blow leads. Like, this is where I want to see this team tighten up, and we're not seeing it. Now, I understand it. You know, again, a lot of young guys, no Kemba. There's a lot of reasons why it hasn't been crisp. All that said, you know, this is why I thought the start of the season would be pretty bumpy, but I need to see them getting better. And instances like last night do not give me great confidence that they're moving in the right direction. And it's on Brad to sort of to make sure they're better focused there. You mentioned the depth, and I know where you want to go with this. What is most concerning to you about this lack of depth?
All right. Jeff Teague leads the Celtics in bench minutes. Mm-hmm. This is going to be such an easy question.
All right.
Do you know who's second in the Celtics in bench minutes?
Well, I want to say Robert Williams, but because he's only played two games, but I know that's not the case. I mean, Grant Williams didn't play a lot in a couple of those games. I don't know. Who is it?
It's Peyton Pritchard. Ooh. And I was texting with my friends last night watching the Celtics game, and they wanted to kill me because Peyton Pritchard played fantastic last night. But even as I was watching him play very well, it was in the first half. Like, so Peyton Pritchard's just kind of like play all the time for this team. Like, this is what the plan is right now with the Celtics, that a rookie, and I think I am being, you can tell me if I am. I think I'm being like a little elitist with my rookies, that I have an issue that the 26th overall pick is stepping in and being asked to do a lot, but that just kind of speaks to where the team is right now. Yeah. And that they really don't have a lot of options. Brian Robb on the Sports Hub said this a few days ago. It was such a good point. I think it was going into the Nets game. Maybe it was after it. You say, like, how many players on the Celtics bench would play at all for the Nets?
On the Nets, yeah.
And those are extremes because the Nets are extremely deep. But, I mean, the other extreme is that the Celtics are not deep.
Yeah. And it's funny because it's like a double-edged sword, right? Like, we all sit here and say, well, they got to play Aaron Nesmith. They got to figure out what they've got in these rookies. And then, yet, if you're leaning on rookies to play big minutes, it's like, well – don't you need better depth on your team if you need to lead on Peyton Pritchard? So, you know, I'll look at it both ways. I think they needed to hit on at least one of these rookies, and I'm still bullish on what Nesmith can give you, but Brad is clearly reluctant to play him because of the defense, and Peyton Pritchard right now can step in and not be a liability on that end. All that being said, when I saw Peyton Pritchard on the floor at the end of the game, it was jarring. And I said to myself, okay, you know, they need shooting. They need to space out the floor, but it's still, oh my God, that's their best option right now in a game that you really want to take because you've just gotten throttled by the Nets and he's out there. So probably a good sign for the long term, not a great sign for the short term. So this is another Brad question. Are you frustrated at all that Nesmith hasn't played, considering, again, the fact that they have to lean on these guys in this instance? There's part of me that just wants to see him get thrown to the wolves. And if he stinks, he stinks, you know, like, but let's at least figure that out.
Right. Like, I'm a little confused by, they definitely have like a next man up type situation going on with their bench. I don't understand why. Oh, I do, because you mentioned the defense. Like, why can't Nesmith at least like kind of be the next man up for a second there? Mm-hmm. And none of this is to knock Pritchard. I'm thrilled with what I've seen from him thus far. I'm trying to get the Peyton Pritchard is only 31 years old.
I love it.
Train going.
It's so good.
And not getting a lot of bites so far, but my history is if I just keep pushing with that, eventually a couple other people will pick it up. So love what Peyton Pritchard's doing. It's alarming to me though, that's like the option.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that I think I'm being elitist with rookies. I think if it were Aaron Nesmith, I wouldn't be freaking out as much because I'd be like, okay, this is the guy that they got 14th. I think they were probably, maybe they viewed him as a top 10 talent. Okay. Yeah. You're just playing a top prospect, top rookie there. That makes all the sense in the world. I'm being a bit of an a-hole about the fact that it's the 26th overall pick and that's what you kind of have to throw out there right now.
Yeah, and that's fair. But it is funny to run down this bench depth. And like Shemmy in that first game, I think hit like a little Euro step layup and we're like, where did that come from?
Right.
Like, And it's a good sign if you can get something positive. And I think Shemmy's actually given them some pretty good minutes. And then I watch him shoot three-pointers, and I'm thinking, oh, he just can't consistently hit that shot. I look at Grant Williams struggling out of the gate with his offense. And, you know, the bench is in a rough spot. Now, I think getting Kemba back, and you'll hear from Kemba coming up here at the end of this interview, it helps your depth all over the place. Like, now you can push somebody to that second unit. I think there's a scenario where I was looking at what the bench might look like at the end of the year. And let's say they pick up someone midstream here and bolster their starting unit. Like, let's say they use that trade exception and go get Aaron Gordon midseason. Okay. All of a sudden your bench is something like potentially Marcus Smart, Romeo Langford, Peyton Pritchard, you know, Neesmith if he plays, either Tristan Thompson or Daniel Tice coming off the bench, or Robert Williams. Like, the bench could be good, but right now it's not in a good spot. And first off, producer John Henry, I think we need like some sort of element here where like music or some sort of bumper where I start to talk about Time Lord for an extended period of stretch in every podcast. I thought Robert Williams played one of his best games of his career in that loss to the Pacers, spoiled a little bit by the fact that he was involved in the final defensive miscue. But DJ, I wanted to write 3,000 word column. Like, this is it. This is time for the Time Lord. And I did, but I also threw up some caution flags. And I said, we've seen this before, that game against San Antonio last year, where he dunks six times and blocks five shots. It's like, he has these moments and then he usually gets hurt or he doesn't bring the defensive consistency. Opposite of panic meter, excitement meter with Robert Williams. Should I allow myself to get overly optimistic and believe that he can be a rotational presence for this team?
Well, sure. I mean, there was a maturity issue last night. I think we all saw it. Robert, don't tell people when you messed up.
I like that.
Don't tell Celtics fans when you messed up. Because I wasn't going to say anything about you. You think I thought that was your fault? Like, we weren't going to say anything. So that's the maturity issue with Rob. Like, you just, when everyone's excited about you, you got to know, like, okay, just accept all the accolades. Everyone's going to be thrilled about you, because I was pretty thrilled with Robert Williams last night. Again, a little disappointed that he threw himself under the bus after the game, because Kevin O'Connor said it, winning plays. That steal from, I think it was T.J. Warren.
Yeah.
The guy that we all wanted the Celtics to get that steal at the end of the game. Like, I mean, I liked him anyway. He obviously had a great game last night. There was a sequence where he set up Grant Williams for a three, mm-hmm. and it was probably more about the Grant three, because those don't happen super often. I was like, you know what? I'm in. I am in on the 2020-21 Celtics. Yeah, this is what it is. It's Robert Williams to Grant Williams for three. This rules. My excitement meter for Robert Williams has always been high, but my caution meter is also, I don't know, like, I kind of hedge my bets.
No, it's completely, you know, fair. And it's hard to just go all in because we've been burnt so many times. Like, he's right. Already missed a game here because of illness, which, like, I don't even understand, like, how you get, like, no one's getting sick with anything other than COVID, but he's the one guy who comes down with some sort of illness, and maybe it was COVID related. We don't know that, but you know, he's got to stay healthy. He's got to stay on the floor, and he's got to, more importantly to me, he's just got to build off of it. Like, this was a really good game. This is almost like a playoff series. You're going to play the same team the coming up on Tuesday night. I wouldn't be surprised if Brad rolls out the same sort of rotation where Tyson and Tristan are right back in there. They've got to get those guys comfortable. But Rob Williams is going to get a chance. Probably going to play 15 to 20 minutes off the bench. Can he bottle up what we saw and build off of it? And here's why it's important, because, like, Tice is going to be a free agent after the season. You're probably not going to be able to pay to keep him based on the ballooning salaries for this year with Jaylen Brown and next year with Jason Tatum. You need a young rim running center who accentuates your core and who is who's low cost. And Williams checks all those boxes. And I just hope, because you can see the potential, you can see the possibility. He just has to put everything else together. And so I'm with you. I'm like a, I mean, like, behind the scenes, I'm a 13 on the excitement meter, but I'm also an 8 on the caution meter, because I've just been burnt too many times, and I need my favorite player, Robert Williams, to show that the faith I have shown him over the years is justified.
And I think that's the way to play. You can have both high. Just have the I would have, personally, I would have the excitement meter a little ahead of the caution meter. Although I think that's an, I'm going to bring that to Boston Sports tonight. I think that's a good exercise. Like, are you, is your number for excitement
or higher than your caution?
Caution higher with Robert Williams.
I think it's a good discussion to have. Like, it's just, I want it to work for him. It there's just another step for him to take, but that's a huge, if we talk about this, they need young players to really accentuate the score. If Peyton Pritchard, Robert Williams, and say like Romeo comes back and gives you something, even if they're just trade assets, when you start to use that traded player exception from Hayward, that's a huge deal. I want to get your take on this, cause I know it's been hot on your Twitter feed. I want to see if you can guess where I'm going with this. What is the biggest culprit for the Celtics 1-2 start that is related to something you've been tweeting?
Thank God, Forsberg. We didn't even talk about this.
No, but I knew you'd do it.
And it was one of my notes for today's show that I wanted to bring up, and I just totally forgot. Would you take the stinking things off?
That's so bad.
Those things, I mean, when they came out, I was like, ooh, I kind of like the concept. They look like banners. We're talking about the terrible
jerseys. City jerseys this year.
Yeah, that they wear. When I first saw the jersey, I was like, you know, that might not look bad with some jeans. And I still feel that way. Like maybe I would rock it to, like, if I go to a Celtics game, I typically do a, I'll do like a jean jacket and then jersey underneath. Ooh. I think that could work in that type of look, but the whole uniform with the shorts, with the banner going all the way down, it looks ridiculous. It looks like when I was in my high school senior class play production of Alice in Wonderland, and I played one of the cards, and I think like you just like look like a big card. Like, it looks like they're wearing suits that suggest they actually look like banners.
Yeah,
it looks really, really stupid.
I feel bad because I know some people involved in these decisions, and they're in a tough spot because the Celtics are very tradition based. There's very few, they don't like to step outside the window right now. And yet, I think if you look around the league, the teams that are doing this jersey concept the best are the ones that are willing to put themselves out there. And not everything's a hit. Like, Miami's Vice series has been, I think they're phenomenal. This year, like, okay, the double color is a little unique. And we'll see those coming up, actually, when they play Miami. But I like that they just at least take a chance. And they actually weren't going to do the jersey this year. They were going to get away from the Vice series. But people love them so much, they're like, let's continue to try this. So I keep telling the Celtics, inside their practice facility, they have all this orange that's on the walls for that. It just because it's a color that sort of pops, right? And it's the color of the basketball. So it makes a little sense. They need to incorporate it in their uniforms because they just need to step outside their comfort zone. And like, they got these earned edition jerseys that are coming out later this year that are very green. There's like a little bit of a, I don't want to call it a neon green, but it's like a different.
Those are okay.
They're not bad. Again, I want to see them on them because I actually thought the same thing you did. I said, these city jerseys aren't that bad. Then I saw them on. I was like, oh my God, what are we doing?
And you know, like, there was pushback. People were like, yo, you are incorrect on this, which I I suppose most people follow me on Twitter are Celtics fans, but I'm a Celtics fan. And I'm like, I like when my team wears good uniforms.
Yeah.
I will say, like, while we're talking about Celtics fashion, I will credit the Celtics. I thought that the shirts the coaches
were wearing good call.
Santa with Lucky in a Santa hat was dope. And that just made me think, like, Celtics for your city jerseys or your earned jerseys, whatever it's going to be.
Lucky.
Bring Lucky into the mix. Mm-hmm. And even if it's going to be, maybe like make it some 90s thing where it's like really loud, where you just got like big ass Lucky face on the whole thing. Jason Tatum had a hat last year that I was trying to track down where it was a Duke color. Oh, we talked about this because I was trying to get you to find it for me. you definitely know what I'm talking about. I bugged you about this every day.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was the royal blue hat with Lucky on the front. I was like, something like that. It doesn't have to be royal blue, but
I wouldn't even mind it. Like, I know Celtics fans are like, oh, we got to do tradition. We got to be green and white and all that. Like, if they came out with a blue jersey, I would love that. Like,
right.
Just be crazy for once.
Here's the thing. If you keep trying to do different versions of what you already have, everyone's going to have the same reaction, which is Celtics have the best jerseys in the NBA. So why would you mess with that? Like, if you do like, the gray thing actually kind of speaks to what you're talking about. But when the Celtics do anything different with a city jersey, even like the black jerseys that I love, people are like, Celtics have the best uniforms in the NBA. Why would you screw that up? You're going to get that no matter what. So do something freaking different.
Yeah.
I'd be 100% down.
So again, I have a lot of friends in the Celtics organization who work on those jerseys. I think you guys do good work, and I know your hands are tied in some instances, but go outside the box. Just like roll that dice, because if people are going to be critical when you go close to the vest, then you might as well get wild and see what you can do.
Exactly.
DJ, you actually brought it up, and I think this is a good point. I think that we need to stress this lucky concept. You compared it to the Bruins when they did the Pooh Bear, right? The yellow jerseys with the gigantic bear, and at first everyone was like, ooh, I actually have one of those jerseys in my closet, and now I break it out and people are like, wait, oh, that's pretty dope. And it's like, yeah, because in the 90s, we were like, oh, this kind of sucks. Now we're like, this is perfect. So they need to get lucky somewhere in there. Just like be creative. They had some orange in their logo actually way back at the start of like in the 50s, 60s as an accent color. You could always dust that off. There's ways to make this work. All right. You got a busy day ahead. Like, I'll just throw this out there. Any final thoughts on the Celtics, where they're headed? Are you I feel like confident meter has been a theme all day. Do you think it's going to get better quick, or are we in for like buckling up here?
I don't think they're going to lose two out of every three games. Like, I think they're going to be a good representative Eastern Conference playoff team, even with what they're dealing with right now, which is trying to find their identity beyond Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. In the meantime, though, I'm assuming Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are going to go off, and that's enough to propel you to a decent record. So I said at the beginning of this, like, kind of purgatory. Mm-hmm. And that's not the best, but it's not the worst. And we all know that this is not what the Celtics are envisioning for their roster at the end of the season. So frustration with last night, knowing that you're going to have to ride something out for a little bit, but ultimately this is still going to be one of the better teams in the Eastern Conferences, so I'm not freaking out.
What did you think when Terry Rozier dunked on Kevin Durant and the Hornets beat the Nets?
I mean, I loved it. I loved the call of it. That was the Hornets championship right there. People went freaking crazy for that, and I love it. Big moments for Scary Terry. That's all he does. I love it.
I said it on our post-game live last night because you know, Abby and Perk were like, wow, you know, the Nets go out there and lose to the Hornets. And I said, yeah, well, the Nets were so tired from beating us mercilessly.
Like, right. You know? Like, they shot their basketball, we'll say.
Yeah, that is so true. All right. We're going to leave you today with an interview I did with Kemba Walker on Media Day. Talks a little bit about how his knee is feeling. It's been good to see Kemba. He's out on the road with the Celtics. Still not doing a lot of work, but at least out there being around the guys, encouraging them. I think we're still looking at a situation where he's probably not back until maybe end of January, early February. We'll get an update on his timeline in January, but clearly he will make a difference when he's out there and loosen things up for Tatum and Brown. But here's our sit down from Media Day with Kemba Walker. We'll catch you next time on the Celtics Talk podcast. Like, subscribe, roast us in the comments on YouTube. Give us your jersey ideas. We'll catch you next time on the Celtics Talk podcast. All right, Ken, we'll start out easy. How you feeling? How's the knee?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. You know, I'm taking it day by day. You know, right now, that's really all I can say. You know, I'm feeling good. You know, I haven't played or, you know, did anything like as far as heavy loading. So, yeah, feeling good right now.
How hard is it to watch from the sidelines as your teammates start to ramp up? And are you going to be able to resist the urge to be out there?
It's tough. It's tough. It's tough to watch. But at the same time, you know, I'm just trying to be patient and take my time. And, you know, so when I get back, you know, I could be a part of something special. You know, I just want to be able to help my teammates, you know, a lot more. I want to do a lot more for those guys. So, you know, I'm just going to be patient and just get healthy. You know, that's the plan. That's the plan.
I know you said you were frustrated because you weren't yourself in the playoffs, but were you able to enjoy the experience, enjoy some of those first round wins?
No question. You know what? Being able to, you know, win, you know, get out of the first round and then get out of the second round and, you know, playing the Eastern Conference Finals is what actually helped me with my frustration, you know? You know, being able to play at a high level and, you know, make it far in the playoffs with a group of guys who I just absolutely love being around. That's what kept me going, kept me motivated and wanting to play and, you know, wanting to be out there, even though I'm not 100%, I want to be out there for my teammates doing what I can to try to help this team win. So, yeah, I had a blast to answer your question. I had such a great time, planning the playoffs with my guys. And that's why, I want to have that feeling again. I want to be healthy and I want to be better, for these guys. So, yeah.
What do you expect from this team this year, and what will it take to get to that next step and get to the finals?
You know what? I'll never go into a season with expectations, just because you never know what can happen during the course of a season. Injuries happen, and things happen, throughout the course of a season. But I do feel like we have a great team, and I think we can do some special things, but it's going to be up to us. It's going to be up to us. We got to work hard. We got to get better. We got to sacrifice, which we have the guys, willing to do those things. I'm excited. I'm excited about this team, very.
When did you know that Tatum and Brown were going to be special? Was that before you got here? Did that change when you got here and saw just it more up close? What is your impression of their development?
I think it changed more so when I got here. Don't get it twisted. I knew how good they were, but when you see it in person and when you see it every day, that's when things start to change. And for me, the thing I love about those two the most is how much they love the game. Like, they love basketball, just like I love basketball. And they love to work on their games. They love to get better. They do the extra. They ask questions. They soak in things like a sponge, man. Those two dudes are like special. I know I rave about them all the time, and it's true, because I'm around these guys and I communicate with them every day. I talk to these guys all the time, and the kind of people that they are, for their age, it kind of blows my mind, So, yeah, man, I love being around those two dudes, and that's really a testament to their parents, they both have great, great, great parents, and their parents did an amazing, amazing job with those dudes, man. So, yeah, I love being around those guys.
What does it mean to you to be a Celtic?
Oh, man, it means a lot. It means so much to be a Celtic, So many guys has come through this organization and done some very special things. That's why there are no jersey numbers available because of all the greatness that's came through here. So, for me to be a part of this organization is really special to me. And I want to do everything in my power to, be successful here and, help this organization, go to really far places. I want to be a part of that.
What is it like when you do one of those step back moves? Do you know you're going to go to that move, or is it just like instinctual? Like when watching it play out, like obviously the defender has no clue, but like, do you know right before you're going to do it that it's going to happen?
To be honest, no, it's just instinct. And to be honest with you again, the defenders probably know it's coming. That's the craziest thing about it. Like, it's just a move that I've been doing for so long. It's so natural. It's so natural to me, and it's just a part of my game. I just have to do it too a lot of times. I'm a smaller guy, and that's how I create my space to get my shots off. So, that's why it's so big, in my repertoire.
I think Tristan said you reached out to him at the start of free agency. What was that call like, and why was he someone you wanted to play with?
Just because I know the energy he brings. I've known Tristan since high school for a long time. We played against each other in high school, played against each other in college. We had our first draft workout together. Like, I've known Tristan for a very, very long time, so I know what he brings to this game. And most importantly, I just knew what he was going to bring to our team. And I'm talking about off the court things. That dude his personality is so big. He loves being around people. He loves to talk. And he knows the game so well. He's going to help so many guys on this team. So many guys. So this is a great pickup for us. Great pickup.
Yeah, Grant ended up shooting like 58% from three-pointer in the bubble. Do you take credit for that?
Oh, no question. With you? No question. No question. Ask him. I had him in the gym. No, I had him. You know, I had him getting right. So, yeah. When you talk to Grant, I want to hear that answer. You know, I got to hear the answer.
The least you could do for putting up with all his talking is like get credit for that 3-point shot. I want to bring up one thing. All right, so ESPN came out with their top 100 players today, like for this season. They ranked you 48th, down from like I think 17th last year.
Yeah.
Do you take that disrespectfully? Like, how do you blow it off? Like, what's that like?
Honestly, I've been an underdog my whole entire life. Like, a ranking, that means absolutely. I'm pretty sure the guy who did those rankings, actually, I'm not going to go there. But, no, I don't care. I could care less, you know. I could care less. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I think sometimes people forget. You get hurt, like, for a minute, and all of a sudden, you know.
But, which is fine.
Down the board.
Which is fine, you know. If they forgot about me, I take it like that. You know, if they forgot about me, I'm cool with that. You know, I'm gonna work hard. You know, I'm gonna get healthy, and I'm gonna just come back stronger. You know, it's all you can do is prove people wrong. It don't really matter what kind of stuff they put out there.
Are you hopeful with what you guys started in the bubble that there could be progress with that? And
oh yeah, I think so, man. I think it'll be slow, no question, and it has been, you know. But I think we'll come to a common ground at some point, you know. I think the world will get better, and I think, you know, times will change. And I have to applaud, you know, the NBA for allowing us to, you know, use our platforms to, you know, help with social change. And of course, you know, my teammate, you know, my brother Jaylen Brown, who was like in front of everything, who's a beast and who wants to help this world get better. So yeah, you know, we're definitely following his lead. He's always updating us with, you know, tons of information, and I'm proud of him. You know, I'm happy he's the one leading us, you know, in that aspect. So. You know, it's really cool. Yeah.
I'll end on this. How's your puppy? Didn't you guys, you and Marcus, was it that got the puppies last year?
Yeah.
How's it doing?
They doing really well. I have two. He has one. Okay. Yeah, I have two. He has one. My puppies they're great. Not really. No, they're still puppies. 2 years old and 1 year old right now. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I got to tell you this, and this is a little weird, but during quarantine, my kids got a dog. We got a little golden doodle. And he had a green collar when we got him. And they wanted to give him a Celtics related name. And I said, pick whatever you want. I'm not getting involved. I cover the team.
Let me hear it. So
they named him Kemba.
Yes. I love it.
Really?
I love it. Yeah. I get a lot of those messages. It's a lot of doggies out there named Kemba, especially if they went to UConn. Yeah. It's a lot of dogs out there named Kemba.
Well, I got to say, it's a little weird when I'm on, like, if I'm on a show and I'm sitting there talking about you and I say, well, Kemba's going through a knee injury or whatever, and then the dog comes running. So I half expect to hear him running above me here in the house, but the kids love him. So thank you for letting us borrow your name.
Oh, of course.